frankly, we're all raised on what is a beautiful myth, which is that we are simply a nation of immigrants, and the folks who come here are just like our ancestors who came here, and it's all going to work out as well. And people who oppose this massive illegal immigrant cohort in this country are somehow like people who opposed the Irish in the 1840s. But it is different, George, and let me explain very briefly why it is. The cohort coming is enormous. It is the illegal aliens alone are as great in number as all of the English, Irish, and Jewish folks who ever came to this country. Second, they are breaking in. Third, they are coming from countries and cultures and civilizations we've never assimilated before in America or any Western society. And fourth, our melting pot is cracked and it is broken, and the elites don't really believe it anymore. They don't demand that folks assimilate and learn our language and history and heroes. So what we have is something new and something, I think, mortally perilous to this country, because as of now, the whole world knows the back door to America is open. President Bush, who I think has done a deplorable job of enforcing the laws, admits that 6 million people tried to break in on his watch, that 1 in 12 illegal aliens has a criminal record, and the government of the United States concedes that other than Mexicans, in other words, folks from the Middle East, from countries that sponsor terror, from Asia, from Africa, from all over the world, that number caught at the border has tripled in 3 years. We are at the beginning of a crest of a wave which will bring a huge portion of the world's poor and impoverished 5 billion people into this country if we do not get control of our borders, deny amnesty for illegals, and begin to deport the criminals and the others who are in our midst.
You know, I find very fascinating. Most of the illegals, most of them, if not 95% of them, are coming from Mexico, yet U.S. corporations are going to Mexico. It's strange.
This is a product of NAFTA and also the corruption of the great corporation. I'm a capitalist. I'm a free enterpriser to the tips of my toes. But what has happened in my lifetime is what we used to call proudly those good old American companies that helped win World War II, they now have declared themselves, quote, global companies. They got through NAFTA and GATT and the WTO and all these deals, and the purpose is a simple one. It's the bottom line. They want to get rid of their American workers who are well paid and often get health and pension benefits, and hire third world labor at the same time they retain their American market. So they move their factories to Mexico to put them down there to get the benefit of cheap labor, and when they can't move them for some or another reason, like beef packing plants, they bring the foreign workers to the United States to undercut the American workers and get rid of them. It is economic treason, George, that is going on right now in this country, and no one dare call its name.
You are so right about this, Pat, and it continues every day. I've got friends who have lost jobs to lower-paid people, albeit kids coming from college. But, you know, the theory is that these 50- or 55-year-old guys, they're not going to be able to get the kind of standard-of-living jobs that they had before. They're up a creek, and there's nothing they can do about it.
But, you know, listen, who, after all, is the economy for? If not the American people.
Absolutely.
If you read Hamilton, you know, George, I wrote a book back in 1998 called The Great Betrayal. The whole idea of Hamilton was to end our dependence upon British imports for everything we consumed. We manufactured nothing. And he said, this has got to end, because if we don't have economic independence, we will eventually lose our political independence that I fought for at Yorktown and in New Jersey. And so he established an economic system whereby he used tariffs to raise the price of British goods. At the same time, the revenue funded the American government, the canals and the post roads. And at the same time, when the price of British goods went up, these entrepreneurial Americans said, look, we can make products cheaper than that here. And that began the long trek down to economic self-sufficiency and independence for America, till by the time we reached World War II, the United States was producing 96% of all it consumed.
These illegal immigrants who are flooding across the border to the tune of 150-some thousand at least a month, maybe even higher. I think that's what they apprehend, isn't it?
That is what they apprehended in the first 5 months of this year, 150,000 a month, or a figure each month equal to all the immigrants who came in the 1820s, and more than all the troops we've got in Iraq.
That's incredible. Okay, so they are flooding the borders. They want jobs. And I'm not talking about those who are coming here for terrorist-related activities, because I know they're coming and they're setting up cells. They're coming, folks, and we need to stop this too. But so these folks will come over from Mexico. They try to make some money. A lot of them send the money back to their families. Why can't we help them get a good standard of living in their own country so that they don't have to come here?
Well, you know, that's going to be a very difficult assignment for this reason. Standard of living in Mexico is probably averages about 1/10 or 1/8 of what we have here. I think the wages are a minimum wage, I believe, when I wrote the last time was 50 cents an hour. And here it's $5.15. But you're exactly right. We should. And that would be ideal. The problem is, the regime in Mexico is a failed regime. In my judgment, it is corrupt. These people are hardworking. They work as hard as we do. They save their money, George. And after we passed NAFTA, the Mexican government devalued the currency by 2/3. In other words, it wiped out the value of 2/3 of the savings of these hard people and 2/3 of the value of their wages if they're trying to buy something in the United States. For example, if some Mexican fellow was saving up thousands of dollars to send his daughter to music school or something like that in America as his great gift, he was virtually wiped out and unable to do that. These governments have failed the Mexican people again and again and again. And now 46% of all Mexicans say they would like to live in the United States. So we do have a hellish problem, and we have no control over the decisions made by the Mexican government.
What's a shame, too, being a humanitarian, that I think we all are, it's difficult to turn your back on someone who's in need. But we need to take control over our borders first and foremost before we lose everything. And in terms of administrations, and you know, you've worked with a number of American presidents. Did any of them try to stop this? I'm sure it's been going on for a long time.
Well, let me tell you, in my lifetime, I was born and raised in the D.C. area. Back in 1954, Eisenhower found that 1 million illegals were trying to come across the border. They were being hired by ranchers, primarily in Texas, to do labor at half the wages of Americans. Eisenhower, who was a genuinely tough customer, despite his, you know, his friendly, grandfatherly image, he ordered Operation Wetback. He sent a general, Joseph Swing May, put him in charge of the INS, sent him down there, and May began the rapid deportation of illegal aliens back into the interior of Mexico. He was sending them to ports. He was cracking down on the businesses and the ranchers. And he got the job done. They got the job done.
And by the way, that term was not considered racist at that time.
No, it was not. I mean, Wetback was simply someone who walked across the Rio Grande holding his clothes over his head to get in the United States. And it was not considered, a racist term at all.
No.
I mean, it was commonly used, and people would joke about the term. But now, of course,
it is considered
atrocious. But in recent years, I will say this, George. You know, I ran in California in the primary in 1992, and I went down to the border and made the case for a security offense along the San Diego corridor, where they were lining up and coming at the rate of 5,000 a night. During the weekends, I said, you're going to need a fence to stop this. Well, you know, Clinton, and they condemned me for it and called me names, but Clinton built the triple line fence, 14 miles at least, and as Duncan Hunter, the congressman, points out, all of the trucks bringing drugs in have stopped. The murders that were going on by these dreadful people who were moving people across the border and raping women and the rest of it, the murders went down to zero. And the illegal aliens crossing went down almost 98 or 95% in that corridor. So that tells you that it can work.